Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay.
And I'm happy.
You're in a good mood.
Have you given up something for Lent?
Not really given up. I'm tweaking a couple of things in my life, things I sort of have been working on anyway. But they're big because they're long-term habits.
Yeah, I did a couple of things. I decided to take a more multi-layered approach, not just one thing, but several things. One that I wanted to share is that I chose someone that I haven't been treating great. Not someone that I've treated badly, but someone that I haven't been treating great, and to make an effort to treat that person in a special way.
All right.
Anyway, two guys and a gospel here. The one in a good mood today, Father Ricardo Martin, pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and vice chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And I'm Father Philip Ugacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. So third Sunday of Lent is now coming up, and I'm going to read the gospel. Do you want to explain, though, now? I think certainly for this Sunday, maybe the next few Sundays, might happen.
Yeah, the third, the fourth, and the fifth Sunday in Lent, in parishes where they have catechumens, at least at the Mass that the catechumens are present, they should read the year A readings from John also. In parishes without catechumens or at Masses where we don't have catechumens, the RCIA people, so to speak, then we would be reading cycle B. And as we've said before, Mark's Gospel is kind of short, so like today is a good example of resorting to John's Gospel. But that's an explanation just in case the reading that you hear proclaim at your parish is not the same one we are reading.
So what we're going to do is we're using the normal readings of year B, which is from where? Where will I read from?
You're going to be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 to 25.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the words Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well.
I think that the last paragraph is absolutely amazing. It's one of those that you read it and you have to smile. He wouldn't trust himself to them, which is a very nice way to describe a ministry. Now you trust yourself to your people, but he wouldn't let them deceive him because he knew about human nature. What do you think that means, Father Philip?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's a very powerful statement. He understood human nature. And in kind of in, the, in almost that human part of it, he's got a little hesitation here because of that. But the very last line, he himself understood it well. Here's what I think about. I think that's really, it's the teaching of the church, especially through Vatican II and kind of a key document in the Second Vatican Council, that Jesus Christ is the answer to every human question. It's Jesus Christ who really knows human nature so very well. And I think the other way you think about that statement, which is so popular, is trying to attempt a life without God, a life without a relationship without God. You're distancing yourself from someone who understands human nature, mm-hmm. and those struggles that we have. There's just a lot there. I'm probably not saying it very well, but there's a lot there.
I think you're saying it well. In Spanish, we have an expression, what fork and what knife do you use to eat that? Mm. How do you bring that down? And I think knowing human nature as priests, for instance, we know how important this is, because in everything we do, in trying to identify the needs of our community, what do we need to preach to them, what activities, what ministries we should have, you need to know about human nature. And to understand where people come from, that's very important. We have this image of Jesus many times, not Jesus my friend, or Jesus this nice person. Jesus here gets upset, and it says he gets upset because they have turned the temple. So Jesus didn't promote the destruction of the temple. He said the temple should be my Father's house, and that's very interesting. And he especially focuses on the sellers of dopes, because we know from Old Testament reading that the poor had to buy dopes. That's why the temple was turned into a marketplace, but oppressing poor people especially. And that's why Jesus gets especially upset. I think that's part of what's going on in this gospel.
I think so. And I think that's key. That's part of what's going on. I don't think this scripture reading is as simple as sometimes, you know, when we were younger and we first heard it. So we kind of just focus in on that. The other part of this that I think is so very important, which you touched on, is this is my Father's house. Those are fighting words. More specifically, those are blasphemous words to suggest now he's saying that I am the Son of God, and mm-hmm. this is my Father's house, and in comparing his body to the temple here. Some may say that this is really the decisive moment where those around Jesus say, all right, we got to crucify him. This is it, you know.
We are only in chapter 2 in John's Gospel, which is something we can explain also. In the synoptic tradition, is one trip to Jerusalem. So Matthew, Luke, Mark, they have a long trip to Jerusalem, and we follow the baptism, the temptations, the transfiguration. We decide to go to Jerusalem, and everything follows a very linear timeline, whereas John's Gospel, it's a back and forth, like several years moving in and out of Jerusalem. What is also part of what the Gospel says also is that the tradition said that the Messiah would show this zeal for the temple, for the house of God, and that's why it speaks about this sign that the disciples will not totally understand or will remember after the resurrection, which is another very powerful statement in this text.
Yeah, Jesus understanding his own identity well, too. There's a great clarity here about who he is and what his mission is. Whereas at different points, such as Mark, for instance, you know, the Mark in secret, you know, some of that's just not quite as clear. Here in John's Gospel, very early on, it's clear.
I think it will be difficult for me not to preach about the last paragraph, though. I think it's amazing.
It is.
He knew. And he didn't trust himself to them. I think it's a beautiful way to reflect about what we preach in Lent, for instance, the self-denial of Lent, that it's actually to trust yourself to others. That's a beautiful way to put it.
I agree.
So I may preach about this. I'm not sure. Do you know?
I actually think the same thing. That's why I'm a little quiet. I think the same thing. I think we're on the same page, and I want to pray about that and think about that. What's a little tricky is when you start to talk about human nature and the way that Jesus understands himself well, we've got to address, you know, the disappointments of other human beings in a way that doesn't sound dour, that doesn't sound critical. But the reality is other human beings disappoint us. And then how do we deal with that? How do we live with that? And we know that as people who deal with people, we can disappoint us and we can disappoint others. So
isn't spiritual maturity to know how to deal with that very clear reality that right. Especially those who loves us or who we love the most are those who are born to disappoint us more than people we don't care about. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So how about next week we get together? It'll be the fourth Sunday. And by the way, it's March, so we'll be a little deeper into March.
So see you next week, Philip.
Take care.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.